Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Gentlemen, before we begin, I feel like I should firstly apologise for not being part of the last podcast.
Last two? Maybe. Well, no, you were. We just didn't record it.
Yeah, two out of the last three.
Yeah. Well, there's been technical problems. There's been me being called to do an interview with Matt Banahan, which prevented me from being with you on the last podcast. So well done, gents.
Banners.
And finally, you get to hear me without any alcohol
in the system.
In my system whatsoever.
Do you reckon it's all flushed out yet?
Oh, I blooming hope so.
We're now 1 week down the line.
Although I did crack open and toast England's Grand Slam victory, and we'll get into that.
As you should.
Quite right. So let's get into it. Hands in, pod on three. 1, 2, 3.
Pod.
So yeah, this is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. You can get in touch with us at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. You can find us on iTunes and on Acast. Actually, I've got a couple of reviews that have been left on iTunes.
Ooh.
And please leave us your reviews. We very much appreciate it. Like this one. This one says, and it's from someone going by the name Jamie Roberts Jaw. I look forward to the podcast, blah blah blah, 5 stars. Banter almost as good as James Haskell's, which I take as an incredible compliment.
The best.
Yeah,
what a compliment.
A huge compliment. And good quality podcast was another one. Good bunch of guys from Froswick. So yeah, leave us your feedback on iTunes, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, and there we go. So before we get into the Six Nations, I've got a little game of Who Am I?
Ooh, go on then.
For you. So, Phil and JB, and play along as you're listening, see if you can beat JB and Phil to the answer. I'll give you some information from a Wikipedia page of one rugby player. You have to try and buzz in, guess who it is. If you buzz in, get it wrong, you pass control to the other person. So, this person was part of the JB's phone. This rugby player was part of the last England squad to win a Grand Slam prior to this weekend.
Okay.
Also had a career moonlighting as an athlete in a different sport at one point.
Dan Luger.
Oh my word, straight off the bat. Yes, it's Dan Luger.
How do you like me now?
Wow.
Can you remember what he did?
Luger.
He was a
luge. Yeah, he did bobsleigh. Luger did a variation of the luge. Yeah, 2009. He went into bobsleigh.
That's right. Yeah. He did.
And do you know what his middle name is?
It is something. I'm going to say it's something like Bodan or something. Is it
Darko?
Yeah. He's
Danny Darko.
Very good.
But yeah, he was a proper like Rolls Royce of a rugby player, wasn't he?
Well, when he was fit.
Yeah.
He was kind of like a Rolls Royce. You drive him for about 4 hours and then needs 2 hours worth of servicing.
Well, there you go. JB wins the spoils on Who Am I. That's the only thing a Welshman's going to win this weekend.
Absolutely right. Well, no, we did batter Italy by a record score, to be fair.
Well, yeah. This is true. How do you feel, Phil, 24 hours after England's victory?
Delighted. I'm pleased that team, who got so many talented players but for kind of 4 years have won nothing, have finally won something. I think it feels like they've got the recognition that they deserve for doing that. But I don't feel like a huge amount has changed, and I still think the team has got a huge amount of work to do over the next few years, starting with Australia on the summer tour. So all positive, all good, but I don't think this is merely the first step for this team.
I think so.
I completely agree with that. And it's interesting you referred to the last 4 years, and the commentary team towards the end of the match, I think Brian Moore made the point that Stuart Lancaster should take some kind of not credit, but some comfort in the performance of that squad, because largely that was the squad that he brought through.
Yes and no.
Yeah. No, not really.
Well, yes and no. So he's done a lot of things right, but Mike Friday, former England Sevens coach, is currently involved in the USA Sevens. He tweeted a picture saying, you can give everyone all the resources in the world, but if they're not quite good enough, they're never going to be good enough. And I think that's right. I think Lancaster didn't have that last 5%.
Welsh Dilemma on Twitter also tweeted and said, do you know when someone opens a jar and then you claim credit for having spent the last little while just loosening it? That's Stuart Lancaster.
Oh, yeah, it's exactly like that. Very good.
I'm completely with you, Phil. And actually, do you know what? I think a lot of work is still to be done. But I actually look at it and go, it's frightening how much better this England team could get, because Kieran Brooks in at tight head, I think you upgrade the team when he's back and fit.
I'm convinced it's a huge upgrade.
Maybe not a huge upgrade. Nathan Hughes into the back row.
I'm interested.
Or at least off the bench, at the very least. And and Henry Slade, who made his comeback today after injury for Exeter.
10, guaranteed, nailed
on. I think he will end up as England's 10. I know you mock me for it, but I think he'll end up as England's 10.
Well, I tell you who won't is Ollie Devoto. So he's going over to Exeter. So that might actually mean that Slade moves in once Steenson's gone.
Yeah. Slade has always said he wants to play 10. He is the most naturally gifted player, I believe, that England have, and I think he'll end up as our 10.
Mm.
But it's how much better? Oh, Tuilagi, if he stays fit and gets back into the mix, I think England could get even better. Jay?
I tend to agree, actually. Yeah, I tend to agree. And I also think they've got a good young core. However, I do think that Eddie Jones has benefited massively from Cruz turning into an absolute dominator
this season.
And then he's got his stable mates. And together, they're just an absolute wrecking crew.
And it's funny, actually, because when you look back at Stuart Lancaster's reign, you think it was quite fortunate he would never have picked Jonathan Joseph had it not been for
injury.
I don't think he planned to play, certainly not start, Maro Itoje, maybe apart from the Italy game, as a one-off. He was talking him down massively. You're right about Cruz. He has just stepped up since World Cup.
Hell of a player.
Frightening.
Yeah.
But I don't think he ever intended to play Itoje, but the two of them together have given England a world-class line-out.
I think he could do a little bit more in the scrum. Not a huge amount, just a tiny bit here or there.
Nathan Hughes and Kieran Brooks?
Not sure Kieran Brooks. Nathan Hughes. The benefit of Nathan Hughes is that if Billy is out, you've got a ready-made replacement.
Or get shut down by France, which they did quite well.
Yeah.
It's a real, real good option.
Well, both France and Wales shut down Billy really well. His carries went from his metres made went from 80, 90, 100 in the first three games down to 40, 50.
But that should just open it up for other players. I don't understand why that doesn't happen.
But they don't have the other carriers.
Because carriers are guys like Haskell, who has negative or 0 yards generally.
Because he's working so hard.
Yeah, Haskell and Robshaw, they do all the hard work, but they're not carriers. If you could say if you could have replaced Robshaw or Haskell with Nathan Hughes.
You need someone who
could have run riot.
You need someone who does hard work. And also, it's not necessarily the case you need a carrier in the back row. England could do with a second row carrier. Mind you, Itoje's carrying well.
Itoje's a pretty hand. And
Cruz does his
fair share, definitely.
That'll make all the difference, though.
How about, because we'll sort of end up discussing the games as we go through this, how about we select our Egg Chasers team of the tournament?
Okay, fair enough.
That sounds good
and
to
in,
me.
And in doing so, we'll kind of touch upon lots of the things that cropped up in the game.
Yes.
I think the hardest position I had to actually pick was number one.
Yes.
It was the toughest one for me.
Well, no one's outstanding. That's the thing. Every game, at some point, there was parity in the scrum. You don't go back to one game and say, yeah.
Dominant.
Completely correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually went for Evans from Wales.
He's probably most consistent because he started every game. Like Marler and Mako. Mm. Mako, when he played, was arguably a little bit better, but he only started two games, so it's more difficult.
And how about that set move that they've got? The double prop smash and roll.
What was that?
Oh, it's beautiful.
The Mako and Cole combination for the try.
I was looking forward to the second row crossfield slice. I think that was next up, wasn't it?
It could go with Evans. I think Jack McGrath's a pretty handy player as well.
That's a good shout. There's no doubt about the hooker. He was one of the players of the tournament,
100%
right?
For me.
Hartley?
No, Girardeau.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I'll go with that.
Girardeau has to be.
and probably no doubt about the tight head either.
WP Nell? I'd go for WP Nell, yeah.
Yeah.
And because he's so key for Scotland.
Mm. And he will be key for the Lions as well.
I think he would be. I'd take him.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
Who would you put in the second row, Jay? That dominant English pair?
Todgy, I think. And probably Cruise, I'd say, at the moment.
Possibly Cruise and Charteris.
Maybe.
Possibly Itoji.
Alan Wynn. Alan, maybe.
Alan Wynn was a little bit quiet, I felt, by his high standards. Mm. Well, he's still one of the best.
Again, he
in
does
world,
different things. I mean, he's not an outstanding player in terms of, like, Itoji, you think, oh my God, he's amazing. And also, because he looks different to everyone else, he stands out. Whereas Alan Wynn just does donkey work over and over again.
I think if you were to pick a Lions test team tomorrow, you'd have Cruz and Alan Wynn Jones
starting.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
I think I'd go with Itoji and Alan Wynn.
I think would you? I'd be Lions thinking, test in
no,
New
starting
Zealand.
The Lions test, I'd have Itoji on the bench.
Well, you've got a year to go, so let's, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Rowan, start it tomorrow. Right. I would pick Wynn Jones and Cruz.
Who would Saracens pick?
Saracens would love Alan
They'd
Wynn-Jones.
Pick someone out of the championship and pluck him out and make him incredible.
Alan Wynn-Jones would fit in very well with
and
the
they would
Saracens.
Pair him with?
Probably Cruz.
I'd say they'd probably pair him with Itoji.
Possibly.
Back row. You see, there's two, I think, standout performers, and I'd go CJ Stander and Billy Vunipola.
Yeah.
Now, that's...
I would go with that.
That's the guy that England need.
CJ Stander.
CJ Stander.
Oh, yeah.
Next to Billy.
He's all action,
talking.
Does everything.
CJ Stander, when Sean O'Brien comes in and gives him a lift carrying as well. That's...
When they get to especially share when they get, the workload.
Especially when they get Henderson back fit in the second row doing some carrying as well.
Oh,
it's frightening.
That is. Yeah. That really is. And then, do you give Hardy from Scotland or do you give Robshaw? Because for me, they're the other two standout back rows.
I mean, who have you decided on seven then?
Well, it's either Robshaw six, Stander seven, or Stander six, Hardy seven.
Well, I would personally say Stander definitely six, Billy definitely eight. The seven...
Well, who's been the best seven?
Well, Stander wore seven, didn't he, for Ireland?
No, he wore six.
No, he
I
wore
think.
Six most of the time. Yeah, Tommy O'Donnell and Josh Van der Fleer. Well,
it's not coming from Wales. I don't think Warburton's been up to his high standards. Don't think Tipperick's offered much. Hardy's a very good player.
Hardy is a good player.
But he hasn't won a Grand Slam.
He's not.
Robshaw has been outstanding.
But he's not a seven.
Oh, here we go.
He's not started.
Just let him wear that six and a half shirt that him and Haskell were holding up in the dressing room after.
I love that six and a half.
I think if you win a Grand Slam at seven, give him a start at the Lions.
I think there's a strong argument for that case.
Yep.
I would personally pick Robshaw over Haskell, but I can see the merit of both.
All right, fine.
What a difference a shirt makes.
Kind of clear as mud there then. Halfbacks then.
Nine, in my opinion, most pivotal for their team has to be Laidlaw.
That is
so important for Scotland. He's such a leader.
In what regards, though?
Well, partly his kicking.
Yeah.
Partly his tactical kicking. He scored a try. His running was good. His distribution was good. His decision making was good. He led well as a captain.
Mm.
I think Laidlaw, he's more important than any of the other nines.
I agree.
Davis played really well. He's interchangeable with Webb. Youngs and Kerr, pretty interchangeable. Mm. Murray's very important, but I don't think he played
well
as Laidlaw.
Let's eliminate them. Let's just say we're not going to go with Youngs.
Yeah.
Laidlaw's interesting because you're right about all the things he does. He does the kicking, he does the leadership. But you've also got to say that the leadership and the kicking will be done elsewhere on a Lions test.
Probably.
So you need to sort of focus just on the scrum half.
Well, we're not picking a Lions team. We're picking a team.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
But yeah, you're quite right. Both make good points. I'm gonna back Phil up and go with Laidlaw.
I would go with Gareth Davis.
Davis is the name I had down, but...
He runs like the Millennium Falcon. He just goes.
10 I found tricky.
I would personally pick Sexton.
Yeah, that's...
But he's a coward.
That was where I was edging.
He's a disgusting coward.
Go on, JB, you take this one. I thought I was going to have to take the mantle of this one up, but you go for it.
I'd happily pick Sexton, except for he no longer even belongs in this game. what a horrible, horrible man.
So you're referring to when he was Dunbar for Scotland, did a sort of flip wrestle type tackle.
Which was... definitely a yellow card.
It was a yellow card for being reckless. It wasn't a yellow card for tip tackling. It could have been dangerous. He didn't land on his head.
He didn't. He landed. He went a full 180.
Which is why it was reckless. But yellow.
He sat up.
If he'd landed on his head, he would have been a red card.
Yeah,
100%. And it was only a few degrees away from landing on his head.
Sexton, understandably, I say understandably. I don't think any player should appeal for a penalty.
No. Understandably was annoyed.
Understandably was annoyed.
Particularly given his concussion issues. So understandably is annoyed. But the ref, and there's enough cameras to deal with this, he should not, he should never appeal. Never, ever,
but
ever.
But it wasn't the appealing was like issue one. Issue two, which I found even more distasteful, was after he'd appealed and put his arms out in a big crucifix position.
They should have nailed him to the floor. Nailed him.
There, when he nailed himself to the floor, because he very quickly rolled on the floor holding the top of his head, which as far as I could tell made no contact with the ground.
What an awful individual.
But he got roundly...
He got thrown in the air in a game of rugby.
Yeah, he got... He got roundly given a massive amount of stick on social media.
Do you know what everyone misses out on this? Because everyone says, oh, yeah, he got thrown. He got thrown. Did you, the amount of physical strength to throw a grown man who's a professional athlete.
It's Johnny Sexton.
Barrel rolled him over his back. It was
Dunbar is a big boy, big strong boy.
It's like watching the NCAA. It was incredible.
Right, I'm interested to see who you got in centre.
I think it's
interesting.
I think there's two questions here, and there's one if I was going to pick the team in the tournament, and one if I was going to pick a Lions team tomorrow.
Right.
So the team in the tournament, I think Jamie Roberts was outstanding.
He was
consistently
he was in
outstanding.
This game, and he has been through the tournament.
Yeah, in every game, his performances were as high as I've seen him.
Yep.
I wouldn't necessarily pick him for a Lions team because I think he limits your attack so much. But I would have him in the team of the tournament.
He's definitely in my team of the tournament. And interestingly, maybe we could pick up this with Wales. I've probably bored you in the way that JB bored us with culture through the World Cup.
But I was so right.
I think I'm so right on this. You say Jamie Roberts limits your performance, but what I saw from Jamie Roberts was a Jamie Roberts that had been given a bit of freedom and given a bit of confidence. And Warren Gatland said before that
Jamie
game,
Roberts does not like confidence. Well, he's 6'4".
All right.
He's one of the best in the world at what he does. He's a doctor. He's got so much confidence. He struts around whichever club he wants at will. Whatever he's lacking, it's not confidence.
Mike Phillips said that he felt that the Wales team in general felt shackled and a bit nervous to play. And it seemed to me like this was a Wales team that had been released.
They were definitely released.
The lead had been released, and Warren Gatland talked about how he wanted to try and change the way that Wales played, and they've been talking about it, which is what I've been really hoping that they would do ever since the World Cup, and I have been disappointed largely through the tournament. However, Jamie Roberts was making more than 3 yards. He was offloading.
He made four. And I made four.
He was offloading.
You talking about the offload just before the end of the half?
He did several.
Because I made that up. I didn't see any, actually. I watched the game again after you said that. I've seen lots of passing.
I can tell you how many offloads.
Well,
Jamie
offloads passes. Offloads is a type of pass, right?
Go on.
He passed 12 times, which is quite.
There
high
you go. Jamie Roberts passed 12 times.
He offloaded just the once.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I can see what you're saying. But here's what I'm saying.
He did run 77 yards, which is astonishingly high for Jamie Roberts.
Yeah. Look, I do agree with what you're saying. It would be nice if they opened up. I don't think Jamie Roberts can do it, and I think...
You said you don't think the Welsh team can
do it. No, I don't think they can. I don't think Bigger can and Jamie Roberts. I don't think any of those individuals can. You need a change of personnel. But this is Italy. I mean, these are world-class rugby players. If you put them in a couple of grids and ask them to do, you know, offload against one or two defenders, they could do that. But they can't necessarily do it against
New Zealand. You're calling
them
world-class players, but you can't say, oh, they're world-class players, oh, I don't think they can play rugby, other than one-out Bosch.
It isn't one-out Bosch. It isn't always one-out Bosch.
Look at what they did in the World Cup.
Well, they were in a dogfight. They lost every game that they were in not less than a score, because they would have won.
Yeah. All right.
By a score. So they're always in contention. Now, when it's time to open up, they can open up.
I'm heartened by the noises coming out of the Wales camp and Warren Gatland saying he wants to play more rugby.
He doesn't.
He hates
rugby.
And as I've said before, I'm hoping Rob Howley gets a bit more.
And a little bit of a plug for the midweek domestic podcast. If you want to know anything about offloads and exciting rugby, we've got to talk Jags later.
Oh, yes.
We've got to talk Jags.
We need to get some sexy music when we talk about
Damn
Jags.
Damn right.
Not just because their kit is beautiful. The game Oh, wow. The other centre, I went for Michel Campagnaro.
He had a couple of good games.
Who's the ginger one?
Garcia.
I like him.
Yeah.
He's
a gladiator, isn't he?
Do you know who I went for?
Fire away.
Duncan Taylor.
Very good, yeah.
I thought he was surprise package. He scored a sensational try against France. He carried so well all day. And you were saying the other week you didn't see him as a winger when Saracens played him on the wing.
No,
he's shown in this tournament he's got a real turn of pace. I mean, he got tracked back to tackle Tom James in a try-saving tackle, scored a try from 60 yards against France.
So he might be faster than we realise.
Yeah, deceptively fast, I think.
I think in a poor Italy team, Michel Campagnaro has had a brilliant tournament.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he didn't play.
I thought he played Jonathan Joseph off the field for about 10 minutes. Yeah. But you know, he really did. Like, he dumped him, he ran over him.
For the first half,
yeah.
And then scored three tries.
You can't beat England on your own. So.
No, you can't. Well, it's him and Parise were the only two trying.
Wingers then. The return of George North. Oh my word.
He's finally back to his best.
Wow.
George North, definitely.
100%.
He was jinking and stepping. And
that try he scored
was
superb.
The other winger's not so clear. I don't think... Watson's a tremendous player. Is he much, much better than Noel?
Vakatawa had an outstanding game against England. I wouldn't put him in my team at all.
Interesting. No. I don't know a player in world rugby that loves to run into touch more than him.
Well, he always beats the first man.
Yeah, he always beats the first man. But the first man is usually the assistant referee. he just loves it.
I remember playing like primary school football. The coach always used to say, if in doubt, kick it out. So maybe he's just kind of...
Run out. Just run out.
If in doubt, run out.
It's like you've playing PlayStation, you've just dropped the pad. And the analogue stick's pointed in one direction. He just casually glides off the pitch.
He did that three or four times in the first half alone. Who's the other winger for me? No one in Wales. What about one of the Scottish lads?
Viss had only played half the tournament. Seymour had a couple of excellent games.
I think
games.
Noel's been really good.
I
love him as a...
I'd take Watson over Noel.
I love him as a guy that reads the game and he rarely gets caught out positionally.
Yeah, I'd go with that. I'd go with either Watson or Noel. I'd probably edge Watson.
I'd go Watson, I think.
All right, I'm happy with that.
And fullback, I think we might be in agreement, but we might have different. I don't know. Hogg for me.
Again, this is two different questions. So, yeah. Team of the tournament, I would say Hogg. If I was going to start a Lions test in New Zealand tomorrow, I would actually pick Mike Brown over Hogg because he is safer.
Hogg, I'd pick Alex Good. Deal with that.
Hogg does have the occasional misposition and defensively not quite.
But
as
when
good as
he
Mike
runs.
Brown. Oh, that try again.
Yeah.
Against Ireland was sensational. Mm. And he scored a brilliant one against France, and he's setting them up as well. His offloads are brilliant.
Isn't it? I find it funny that a lot of people that maybe kind of begrudgingly liked Mike Brown in Stuart Lancaster's reign really, really love Mike Brown under Eddie Jones. And I think it's just a representation of that kind of nasty streak. Like, we just don't care what you think. We're going to do what we want. We're passionate and we're
kind of like
tough.
There's a lot about Mike Brown that I respect tremendously, but there's just something I don't quite like about him as a rugby player. That is, I think his attitude's great. I'd love him to play for Wales, but as a rugby player, I think he just misses that next bit. He's a good runner. He's not the fastest, and sometimes he just makes the wrong decision, particularly going forward.
He did. I thought this week was probably the worst game I've seen from Mike Brown for a long time. After seeing one of the best games against Wales for a long time, and he made a couple of bad decisions. He's quick and he's got great feet, but he's not like Anthony Watson quick.
No,
he's not, or Elliot Daly
or
quick.
Hogg
or Hogg. Like, yeah, Hogg's quicker as well.
It's one of those very harsh criticisms, which is, oh, we didn't make the 2-on-1 pass. He didn't make the 2-on-1 pass after putting his hand in a Frenchman's chest, flooring him, and then breaking the line.
Yeah, and making 40 yards
exactly.
Another thing Mike Brown does add is a left boot defensively. He's got a massive left boot, which England use intelligently as well, use as a wiper and as a second option.
Intelligent probably describes a lot of England's play. They just seem a lot calmer, don't they?
Do you know how I would describe England's play?
Yeah.
Very English.
Yeah, I love that.
It's good, hard pack. Honest. It sounds like I'm describing like a menu. Locally sourced, honest.
Not locally sourced. We go to New Zealand, Wales to get our British English beef.
They seem to be playing a very English brand of rugby, and I for one like it. I'm fully on board.
Yeah, I do think against France, you talk about intelligence. I thought they panicked in that second half.
Yeah,
they found themselves 17-6 up at one stage. And then just gave away penalties. It felt like after that, every time England got 3 points, the restart, they would just mess up and give a gift 3 points straight to France.
Yeah, because I don't think France were in this, actually. I mean, they technically were.
Yeah, you made me feel a little bit nervous when after 10 minutes of the game on our Twitter feed, at Rugby Podcast, JB declared, "This is the beginning of the end of French efforts."
I
And the following 70 minutes, France showed up as probably their best performance that they've had under Guy Noves.
Look, if it was Wales playing France, I'd be equally as nervous. But from a neutral's point of view, I never felt France were in it. They tackled hard, but they don't have any real plans going forward other than individual brilliance, which they do have some of.
Yeah, and the individual brilliance got them into the 22 repeatedly, but they never managed to finish it off. They didn't score a try. They scored 21 points.
Exactly. All
through seven
kicks,
whereas England did score 3 tries.
So England just let away silly points, but other than
they gave away silly points, and some of their decision-making, particularly early on in that second half, you just wanted to calm Ford down, because they seem to be a bit jittery, and a couple of kicks straight into touch, a couple of charge down kicks, a Mike Brown charge down kick. They just need to relax. But thankfully, like, as I said before, none of that team have ever won anything with England.
No.
I guess there's a few people from the 2011 win, was it?
So if you're Eddie Jones,
Six Nations win.
If you're Eddie Jones now,
over that hurdle.
If you're Eddie Jones now, what changes would you be likely to make, or which areas of the England team are you going to improve?
Well,
short term or long term?
Yeah, well, we could take this not just for England. We could take this across the board, like the chances in the Southern Hemisphere and the not getting into real specifics and the general changes to actually go down to the Southern Hemisphere and come away with something, which no one's really managed to do.
Well, where are Wales going?
Wales are going to New Zealand.
Well, that's the end of that. Let's just write that off. Well, actually, yeah, let's write that off.
Well, don't forget, New Zealand have just had 6 of their best ever players retire. So there's uncertainty, like, who's going to play 10 for New Zealand?
I mean, Wales
who's going to be
the
starting centres for New Zealand?
Wales was heartbreakingly close to beating South Africa in South Africa twice.
Yeah.
You know, it's story of Wales over and over. But ultimately, this is the best incarnation of that Wales team. They might do it. I doubt it.
I think if...
If they're going to do it.
If you ever want to go to New Zealand and win, this is the summer to do it.
And what an awful one to win as well, just one after the World Cup. I mean, what does it mean?
Precisely what I think. What does it mean? Could you? I'm not saying reinvent the rule book. I'm not saying do something completely different to what served Warren Gatland so well over the years. But I'm just saying, if you could just let this team off the leash a little bit, without the fear of it knocking you out of a World Cup.
Look, Warren Gatland's a very practical man, and I believe that once Williams is fit and playing, that he will come into centres.
Instead of Jamie Roberts, are you having a laugh?
No, I'm not. Really? I think... And also, not only that, you're going to have a whole season now, or a prolonged period, where where Williams and Davis are going to be playing together. Sorry. Is it this season or next season?
Next season.
Sorry. So next season might be when they bring it in, because they're going to have their 3 most attacking players on the same team. So it could happen, just not quite yet.
So that's what I'd like to see from Wales going to the Southern Hemisphere. But actually, I kind of agree with you, Phil. They don't really have many other people they can pick that aren't already involved.
No, it's true. I mean, you see with the injuries in the World Cup, some of the names that got called up are players you didn't really recognise, or certainly we didn't.
They could do with another prop or two emerging.
Yes,
immediately.
Gethin can come off the bench for 10 minutes. Maybe against Italy.
I think it's time to turn him into glue now.
Yeah, he's done, isn't he?
Well, you could stud him. He's probably earned that, hasn't he? Just send him out into the valleys. Get him out with the locals. Come on,
it's too miserable.
In fact, that's maybe what Wales should do with their ex-pros.
No,
because we're already doing it with Mike Phillips.
No,
he's a one-man stud farm.
And we've had some terrible ex-pros. Goodness me.
Ireland, right, because they've found going pretty tricky this championship, haven't they?
They have. I think more down to injuries. I do think it is more... So Paul O'Connor retiring is obviously massive. Mm. And not having Henderson to come in and replace him, it's not like for like. But
I think Delanne looks like a guy that could get into the Lions squad next year.
Some people have said that. I've not seen anywhere near enough of him.
No, I'm projecting where he could be a year from now.
Connacht, second row.
Okay.
He looks pretty useful to me.
Yeah, he's a big boy, athletic, good player. But yeah, we'll see yeah. with him. So Ireland go to South Africa in the summer, and the big thing for them, I think, will just be getting their players fit. If they get their players fit, they've got a decent chance of winning a game or two.
Mm.
Interestingly, Rob Kearney being injured, they've been starting Zeebo at fullback, and for me, it doesn't really make sense. Particularly when you consider you've got Jared Payne playing at outside centre, who is a fullback convert, who's a superb fullback converted to outside centre. I think they would have been better putting Payne to 15, moving Henshaw across to 13, and putting McCloskey, my boy McCloskey, at 12.
Oh, okay. I tend to agree with that.
Get that big unit in, all the South Africans will love him.
Because Zeebo's a great runner, but
he's a winger, isn't he? Through and
yeah,
through.
Yeah, he's a winger. His defensive positioning isn't great. His kicking isn't great. Whereas Payne, his defence is superb. His positioning is superb. He reads the game very well, and he's got a decent boot on him. So it's a bit of a pity for Ireland that we didn't see that combination, because that could arguably be a better long-term solution to the problem.
Mm.
But again, just getting their players back fit.
Yeah.
Just get Keane Healy and Mike Ross back fit. We need to see a long-term solution at tight head rather than Nathan White and Mike Ross.
I completely agree. And Sexton doing a little bit less of the acting. Although, here's a question. If he wanted to give up rugby and go into acting full-time, and following on from Saturday, he showed that he's got some promise in the acting arena, what role would suit him best?
Did you see Christian Bale in The Machinist?
Is that where he lost about stone?
Yeah.
I can't follow up on that.
Like 7.5 stone.
Done.
Well, another stone that we love a lot, Cornerstone.
Oh, JB.
Oh, my word. Is that the segue to end all segues?
Continuing the segues. Hopefully it is. Thank you to everyone so far who signed up to Cornerstone. It's been... I'm genuinely amazed by how many people have done this.
Well, no, do you know what's really good about it, JB? It's that a lot of our people that have tried it are telling other Egg Chasers listeners via Twitter and all the rest of it that they like it. And so what I like to think is actually we've just set that little ship sailing. We've introduced the United Kingdom to Cornerstone, which is an organisation, mail order shaving company, which we found and we started using, and we thought we'll introduce our listeners to it. And they gave us a deal, and they're giving you the same deal, £10 off, and you get a free engraved handle with your first order. You can cancel at any time, etc., etc. Well worth having a look at. And I just like that people are telling each other now.
The fact that it just works. I just get razors, and then I can shave, and that's it.
Yeah, it's no fuss, good quality product, everyone win, and £10 off your first time.
We wouldn't bang on about it if we didn't believe in the product.
Or got paid.
And it is precision German engineering, and it is superb quality. But more importantly, you can basically have a go at without really spending any money. You can get your free engraved handle, and you can find out for yourself.
Your free
if you
engraved
like
shaft,
it.
Tim.
Yes.
Shaft.
Perfectly balanced shaft.
Perfectly exactly. balanced shaft.
Engraved shaft. So so if you are interested, that's cornerstone.com/eggchasers or
cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers.
Thank you. Or at the point of sale or whatever it is, the checkout, put in egg 10.
cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. £10 off, free engraved handle. Nice one. Beautiful segue, JB. Get us segue us back out into rugby somehow.
No, I can't. I need a couple of seconds to think of these things.
What about who's got a big beard in the Scotland team?
Oh, Seymour and Lamont and Josh Strauss.
Yeah, if Josh Strauss ever decides to get rid of that big bushy Game of Thrones beard, he could use a Cornerstone.
Exactly. Exactly.
Scotland. They got close to doing what you predicted they would do, Phil, and winning three games in the championship. They had some really good moments and some quite disappointing moments.
The most disappointing thing is the two yellow cards killed them.
Yep.
The Barkley one early on and Dunbar later on. Ireland scored two tries when Barkley was off, and that absolutely killed them. It gave Ireland the cushion that they needed, because until then Scotland looked great. They'd scored that sensational hog try, their scrum was solid, Laidlaw was kicking sticks and controlling the game. So close but not quite. Next year, three wins for Scotland.
It's really difficult, isn't it, to say how much more can Scotland give? How much better can they get? And I'm not sure they can get that much better, actually.
I think, so injuries did play their part, like losing Bennett, Dunbar's only just coming back, Visser wasn't available for the first few weeks, losing Finn Russell.
Only having WP Nell as a genuine tight head international class.
Yeah, that's something that they've got to sort out. Losing Johnny Gray. Johnny Gray's superb all tournament. He actually should have been mentioned in the second row stakes.
Yeah.
And I think he would go on a Lions tour, definitely. So I think get some fitness, get a full fit team, and they can worry any of the teams in the Six Nations. So it'll be interesting to see how they do develop.
Yeah, I think they can upset most teams. But if you think like
win a series or win a World Cup, win a Six Nations Championship, it's tough doing it five times in a row.
No World Cup, but they arguably should have beaten Australia, who made the final in the World Cup. So I don't think it's that far away from them. I think that they are restricted because they've only got two pro teams.
Yeah, I think the best we'll ever see Scotland. And by the way, two pro teams isn't a bad thing, and I'll explain why in a second. The best we'll ever see on Scotland is a team that is kind of exciting and on its day can beat anyone, but on average is going to still win 2 to 3 games a year in Six Nations.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Why is it good?
Because, just like Wales with their four teams but with a bigger player base, you've got to send your boys abroad. And when you do, you get Laidlaw playing 9 for Gloucester, which means someone like Robson can't play 9 for Gloucester. Now, he's found work elsewhere, but if they could send over, I don't know, 12 nines, they'd be in a great situation.
But it does mean that Laidlaw played 2 weeks ago, so he didn't have a rest weekend. Visser played against Sale when he should have had a rest weekend.
I'm sceptical about...
Duncan Taylor had played when he should have had a rest weekend.
I am sceptical about the value of these rest weekends.
I think it's vital.
I'm not sure, because when they're not resting for internationals, they are playing Europe, domestic, Europe, domestic, Europe, Europe, domestic, all the way through.
Hey?
As in, they're playing their domestic leagues, and they'll play European rugby back to back to back. So this season, they're not going to get any rest anyway. And in normal rugby conditions, when they're not playing internationals, they just play through. So I actually don't think the
always, always in the Six Nations, you have two rest weekends.
Yes,
So the England players. But in terms of all those England players, all those players who play for England, they're limited to the number of games they can play per year because it is so important to get those rest weekends. And I don't know about you, like playing I played a reasonable standard, and when you play like eight, nine weekends on the bounce, and your body is knackered, you're craving that rest weekend. I'm telling you, it's a big psychological boost as well as a physical boost.
I get that, but they are pro athletes. I think too much is made of those rest weekends, personally. I think not enough is made of the... You know, if you're keeping them together as a squad, well, that's different. But the actual rest itself, I'm not convinced it makes a huge amount of difference.
That France squad where 15 of their 23 went out to... and played in the top 14, and then they got pumped by Scotland.
Well, I guess...
Just think how long it took this week to get yourself back to normal and in full 100%.
I'm not...
And that's all we did was have mimosas every day.
That was physically...
I'm not sure it's the
same. That was as physically demanding as an international test rugby game team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to use the word hero, but God, we were heroes.
I can't... But when I was telling my mates about it, they went, what, four nights out, well, like big nights. I was like, yeah, four big nights. Well, like,
didn't stop.
What were you like the next day? Well, we had to kind of get back on it, otherwise we wouldn't.
Yeah.
I would have.
Or we'd be wasting money.
We would have crashed and burned.
Day three, by midday, we'd have seven pints of Guinness because the wonderful Bayonne Bomber boys were looking after us. And then day four, it was mimosas, half a dozen mimosas.
The funniest story about Bayonne Rugby, right? It's the fact that
this is a New Jersey rugby team. We watched the England-Wales game.
They've designed their own badge.
The badge is brilliant.
But then they've got to cover up the badge in case it's... No, they've got to cover up the badge in work in case it upsets people. And the badge is a woman riding a nuclear bomb with a scarf like of an American
like
flag.
Like a cheerleader.
Yeah, it's great.
A blonde buxom cheerleader.
It doesn't look dissimilar to something Virgin Atlantic would put up.
It is brilliant.
And England going down to Australia then. I mean, what I love, Eddie Jones has already said. He's already said.
Just on Scotland.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you know where they're going to?
Argentina.
No. France are going to Argentina.
Where's left?
There'll be some good games.
There'll be
Japan.
Good games. They're going to Japan.
Oh, fantastic.
couple of tests in Japan.
Oh, that reminds me. I got a package through from Canterbury.
Ooh, where's
we
it?
Got the very, very last Japan shirt that Canterbury have.
Wow.
Yes.
What size is it?
Large.
Oh, perfect for me.
Perfect
the
for me.
The Canterbury... Oh, no, but it's Canterbury the, player
no,
fit.
No, it's not the player fit. anyway, we may have come up with something to do with it, but when Japan beat South Africa... me and you, Phil, had been umming and ahhing about buying a Japan shirt.
Yeah.
And then when Japan beat South Africa, I went, right, that's it. And I went in and they were all sold out.
Yeah,
everyone. You couldn't get them anywhere.
For love nor money.
And then that Rugby World Cup roadshow that Canterbury did in Manchester that I was hosting, there was one in the little mock changing rooms. And I said, oh, you got a Japan shirt? And they said, oh, yeah, that's the very last one that there is.
That's an amazing shirt. An amazing shirt.
And we've managed to get hold of it. So either we just be selfish and hang it in the rugby dungeon.
I think we should hang it in the rugby dungeon for a little while until we find a reason good enough to give it out.
Well, here's an idea.
Yeah.
You can shout me down or edit this out of the pod.
Happily shout you down.
But we very recently, as in yesterday it finished, had a competition in the Exercise Fantasy Rugby.
I want to enjoy it for a few weeks. Maybe
Fantasy Six Nations. And we could possibly give it to the winner of that.
Oh, right, okay, well, we'll have this discussion off the pod, but yeah, let's for
possibly.
The time, let's talk
we've
about...
Got, if not, we've got lots of others.
I know. Yeah. Why don't we tell the winner they can have the Japan shirt eventually after we've enjoyed it for a few weeks?
Yes, that's a good idea.
So we'll hang out for a few weeks, and then maybe if we change our mind, they can have it. But in the...
Let's have a discussion
off
the pod.
Let's have a discussion.
They're not having it, all right?
No, I'm not saying that. But we should mention the Fantasy Rugby League. We can go back to Scotland and England, but as you brought it up, I like this tweet from Ollie Bayliss to At Rugby Podcast, who said, chaps, and he's talking about giving out prizes for the ESPN Fantasy Rugby League. He said, oh, you should give out a prize to the best team name. His favourite is a team called Exeter Gently.
Very nice. Very nice.
Exeter Super. Gently actually were the highest point scorers this week.
Seriously?
Yeah, 127 points. Fair play.
Congratulations, so, Exeter Gently.
And the biggest faller in the week was Miles Better Than Benjamin.
Oh.
They fell 461 places.
Wow.
Can I be honest? Because of the New York trip, and I haven't tinkered with my team at all.
Well, Phil's not tinkered with his either. And what
me
happened?
Me neither. So I didn't tinker with mine for 2 weeks. I did make some changes this week, but I forgot about it for 2 weeks thanks to New York. And I've gone on today, and Tim, you placed...
I haven't touched it since week two.
295th.
Oh, I'm all right with that.
Out of, I think, 688, something like
yeah,
that.
That's right. Top half.
588, and you finished 295th. With 372 points. I had 463 and finished second in the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast.
Wow.
You finished second?
Without making changes for 2 weeks. Very
annoyingly. Oh, you could have won that Japan shirt, Phil.
I know. But seeing as if we do decide to give the Japan shirt to the winner, then I can very easily get rid of the person who won it. Meaning that I'm top.
Block him James, for behaviour.
James Maguire, you're very close. My finger's just hovering over the delete to the remove button.
Get rid of him.
Well done, James Maguire.
I should also say I did finish joint second with Robert Campbell. Bob's Bobcats.
Well, so he certainly doesn't deserve a Japan shirt for joint second.
Joint second, no. Joint second gets nothing. He would also be
what
deleted.
What sort of players
if,
did James Maguire, the winning team, have in? What was his team name?
Slippery Schmitz. So this week, we both scored very similar. He scored 118 this week. I scored 120. So we had similar players. He had Bigger, Jonathan Davis, George North, Hogg and Anthony Watson. He had CJ Stander, Devon Toner, George Cruis, Girardo, Jack McGrath and Rory Best. And Itoji as a back row, because Itoji was counted as a back row for this.
Madness. Absolute insanity.
It is insanity. So, well played.
Good work. We'll let you know about your prize. We've got some good stuff knocking about.
Yeah, yeah. We'll let you know.
Yeah, get in touch with us if you want anything.
You got pride.
A lot of pride. He's an Irish chap as well. Yeah. And unsurprisingly, in the League of Leagues... Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast stands head and shoulders above.
Seriously?
Do we?
Yeah.
That's outstanding. So the ESPN, just again, if this is all gibberish to you, let me just recap. ESPN have a Six Nations Fantasy Rugby League where they invite anyone to be part of. You can play on your own in the overall league, or you can be part of a mini league, and we had just short of 600 people in our Egg Chasers League. And of those leagues, they average the scores of everyone in them, and they award a league of leagues. And Egg Chasers, once again, for what, the third year running?
Definitely the second year running.
Probably the tenth year running. We are the top of the League of Leagues, which means...
Have that.
The other way of putting that is, collectively, you, us, all of us together, are the most informed, educated rugby fans on planet Earth.
I like to think of us as a Saracen-style hive mind.
Exactly.
One brain, just lots of different parts being controlled by the same brain.
But all effectively doing the same thing, which is dominating.
Exactly, Tim.
Yes.
Apart from today, we'll talk about the midweek domestic pod.
So, this weekend wasn't the only international rugby, allegedly. So I hear.
It wasn't.
Phil was up bright and early on Saturday morning.
Did you watch this?
I watched the full game.
Wow.
It was... It kicked off about half 12.
What was the tournament called? What's this tournament called?
It's the European Rugby Champions Cup. No, that's the Heineken Cup. European Rugby Tier 2 competition is what I know it as.
Yeah, well, whatever that is. I don't know what it is.
And who was playing? Like Liechtenstein against Belgium or someone?
In Tbilisi, Georgia wrapped up the title by beating Romania 39 points to 8.
It was something like that. 39-9, I think it might have been.
39-9.
It was a dominant performance by Georgia. Georgia looked really, really
Did they have
good.
All their players?
Pretty much, yeah. They had...
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Well, Mamuka Gorgodza was certainly there. Mm-hmm. The 15, they had props and second rows that I recognise from watching Top 14.
Even Cornerstone could handle some of those, but some of those boys.
Oh, I'm not sure. No, I'm just joking. Of course, Cornerstone could.
But lesser razor companies couldn't. That's the point.
It was just a really, really good game. Really enjoyed
and
watching
what, it. What was the crowd there? What was the situation?
Small crowd, I guess. 55,000 people.
What?
In Tbilisi.
That's it. I didn't even know there was 55,000 people in Tbilisi.
In their national stadium. It's a hell of an atmosphere as well.
That's amazing.
Because there's a live feed online. There was no commentary or anything, so you just get in the crowd noise, and the crowd noise was brilliant.
There was no commentary.
Every hit.
Oh, I think we found
we
a job
We could have
for
taken
ourselves.
Care of business there.
I'm pretty sure.
Come on.
We couldn't have done a worse job than no commentators, could we?
Let the boys play! Let him play! Let him play! Tim!
Oh, dear. So every time Gorgodza gets the ball, we'll say hit slow-mo and play some sexy music underneath.
I tell you what, Gorgodza was getting absolutely smashed. Some of the Romanians were enormous.
I bet their team talk was all
the Great
get
Oaks.
Him.
What are they called? The Mighty Oaks.
Yeah, Mighty Oaks. He was getting absolutely smashed, but he was offloading every time. His offloading game was incredible, and there was always a man there.
Well, if you're Romania, you've got this Mr. Fancy who plays at Toulon with his big paycheck, and they're grizzled men.
Yeah,
that's they must have been targeting him, surely.
Oh, they were.
100%. And he basically got a bounty on his head.
Yeah, 100%.
So 55,000 people, dominant win from Georgia, who have, as you mentioned, some of the best players in Europe playing for them. Along with Italy underperforming and getting spanked by a record score to Wales, led a lot of people, us included, to again highlight that we need, arguably, to bring this nation and maybe other nations into the fold in some way. Brief bit of history, because I remember looking into this, and Romania were quite good in the, in the 80s. They were part of the first World Cup.
Do you know why? Do you know why they were good?
No.
Because it was an army sport.
Oh, okay.
So the army made them play. And that's why they were good. And under the communist regime, everyone was a conscript as well.
Yeah, the president, or whoever he was, the dictator.
Is it saying...
Radichoyu?
Maybe. But he was a big rugby fan.
Was he a West Ham striker? I think he might have been. Someone will let us know. At Rugby Podcast on Twitter, someone with a bit more historical knowledge than us. But Romania, around the time of the first World Cup in 87, there was a lot of calls for them. Get them in. These guys are really good. We should support them and fund them. That didn't happen. They weren't involved in the Five Nations as it was then. And they just plummeted. And that possible rugby nation was lost, and it's just starting to emerge again now. Italy, we learnt from our mistake, and we brought Italy through, and albeit they haven't had a good Six Nations tournament, they've been a brilliant addition to world rugby.
Yeah.
And
it's, how do you do though? Do you expand it to seven, or do you have a promotion relegation?
I disagree with you both. I disagree with both those things.
How would you do it?
Well, what makes the Six Nations special?
Well,
history.
Then. Well, then let's get rid of Italy and go back to Five Nations. Because that had all the history.
I wouldn't be adverse to that. I think the Six Nations, the history of like England versus France, although France were latecomers, but you know all the tribal going on between Wales and Scotland and Ireland. That's what makes it special. And I don't necessarily think just bringing a country without that history and plonking it in the tournament would help. Italy's a prime example of that. Now, if there's 55,000 people going to watch Romania versus Georgia, one might suggest that they've already got their history and they're already building something quite special there. So why necessarily dismantle that when you could actually have a regional tournament which could stand on its own legs? And I think we should be supporting that with player release and outreach to those countries with coaching.
Well, then
and
let's just let's take Italy out and let's take Argentina out of the Tri-Nations, because they've got no history in that tournament. So let's get them out of that. Because the reason being is because you've seen the impact it has.
I don't actually think
Argentina were semi-finalists in the World Cup.
Yes,
on more than one occasion.
But Italy haven't. So you know, you've got a mixed bag there. Now I would say Italy probably would be more suited to going over and playing Georgia and playing Romania than playing in the Six Nations. So I'm not adverse to that one bit. But I think it's that history. And I think a Georgia game against Russia would interest the Georgians and the Russians far more than Georgia against Scotland. So why not spread it as a regional tournament there rather than bring them into the Six Nations? And then if it works, you've got summer tours, you've got autumn tours. And works for me.
I think the history thing is completely irrelevant. Because, like Tim, you rightly said, Argentina have no history with New Zealand or Australia or South Africa. But
Southern Hemisphere is different, to be fair.
Well, they were talking about Argentina joining the Six Nations at one point.
Yeah. But Southern Hemisphere is different, okay? Southern Hemisphere is basically a bunch of new countries. There wasn't really an Argentina populated by Spanish people, and same with, you know, Australia, New Zealand.
I don't get why the history is important.
Because it is. It's a traditional rivalry.
Well, then let's go back to no World Cup, and let's go back to how far do you want to regress to the historical thing? Let's have it where it's amateur players and
go on, yes.
no World Cup.
Yes.
And
yes. Go on. Only private schools, yes.
I think the history thing is nonsense. I think standard and consistency is the most important thing. So I wouldn't be averse to having some kind of split with... like Portugal finished bottom of that tier of the Six Nations, relegate them into the tier below because there's multiple tiers to these things. Mm. There's another one with Sweden and
Germany
Holland.
And...
Oh, Germany are in.
The... Oh, they're in the second.
Germany
one,
are in the second one.
Belgium, yeah, yeah. Moldova, Ukraine, Netherlands, Poland, Sweden. Yeah,
Moldova's actually got a lot of rugby going on there. It's just a small country.
A lot of props going.
They've got
on
one
there.
Prop,
and they've got a second row.
Who?
Can't remember his name, but they've definitely got one.
So yeah, Moldova finished second in the kind of third tier Six Nations. So there could be a restructuring with Italy maybe dropping down.
I think what we need to do
that might be interesting to see. Italy versus Georgia versus Romania.
I don't think it's something you can introduce now, retrospective to the Six Nations. It would have to be something you say from 2017.
Yeah,
this is
yeah.
how we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Would you be honestly as excited to watch England Georgia as England France?
Well, I'll take that question and I will say due to the historical rivalry involved,
the
risk is that you are shorn of a fixture like England-France. And yes, there is part of the romantic rugby-loving part of me would go, that is a shame. However, let me ask you a question in follow-up, because this is where my head goes to. Would you like to watch a World Cup 20 years from now where 10 teams could win?
Yes.
Well,
yes, I would.
That's my starting point.
Yeah,
but I think we've got the same end point, because it's not a start point, the same end point, got different ways of getting there. And I'd also say international football's got nothing about it, really, because when they play, they don't tend to play England, Scotland, England, Ireland, England, Wales, or you know, whatever combination it is, Liechtenstein or Faroe Islands, and no one really cares. So I think actually keeping the competitions relatively regional, and they have the ability that Russia could be developed. If you just go Russia, Georgia and Romania, they could be three really powerful, really good clubs. I think it's our responsibility to support them with the standards and the coaching and all that stuff.
Okay, well, 100%. But just on the history thing, I think that France team, if they travelled to Tbilisi, would not have it all their own way.
No, they wouldn't.
Particularly given that a lot of the players play in France and are sons of players who went over to Georgian players who went over to play in France. So I think France could genuinely lose if they travelled to
Georgia. Do you know who would be the biggest loser of a dominant French, Georgian, Romanian team? The French national team. Because there's no restrictions on players coming in, they'd have even less French players.
Just have a few more Fijians in there.
Well, personally, I would like to see at least a two-tier, and it's quite an interesting idea about the three or multiple tier with one up, one down, whether that's by a playoff or just promotion relegation. So in this occasion, for example, Georgia would come in next year and Italy would drop down next year if that were the case. But if that wasn't the case, then what we absolutely must see, you can't have that or nothing. It has to be that or World Rugby and all of the Six Nations countries themselves spread a bit of that TV money, spread the expertise, spread the coaching, because the reason the World Cup was the best World Cup ever is because of the Tier 2 nations.
Because they were all competitive.
Yeah.
The other thing I'd like to see, which has been mentioned before, it's not my idea, is every Tier 1 nation has to have at least one fixture per season against a Tier 2 nation.
Yeah. They not already do that with the fourth fixture if they have one?
They don't have to, though.
Right.
They don't have to. There's nothing. So they every now and again do, but it's normally against, say, Samoa or Fiji, who are on that kind of border, who are already pretty developed rugby-wise.
It's kind of the way cricket is set up, where they have their rankings, because the rankings, I think, mean a bit more in cricket than anything. And they have their rankings, but at some point in a, I don't know whether it's 2-year or 3-year window, they have to have played every single team. In the top 12 or something like that.
Just having 16. An autumn international. Like, England could, seriously, they could fly to Georgia for an autumn international.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, logistically, it's very simple. Just do it.
We did get a tweet saying, I'm not sure that Raws said, I'm not sure on Twitter, at Rugby Podcast said, I'm not sure that Tbilisi has the required cafe culture that rugby fans like. Well, I would love to go on an Egg Chasers road trip and find out and report back.
I would definitely go.
Have you seen some pictures of Tbilisi?
It's meant to be beautiful.
Absolutely stunning. Look at that.
Wow.
I'm sure we can find a few cafes and nice eateries there.
Oh, I should think we can manage that. What I have heard about it is make sure you agree a price for a round of drinks or a taxi journey before
I've
you
heard
take
that about
it.
Latvia.
Yeah.
Next Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast tour might not be the States after all.
Oh, I love.
I loved our excursion to the States. I'll go wherever. Well, anyway, we at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, we'd love to know your thoughts on this one, because maybe you have a similar agreement with JB, maybe you side more with Phil and myself as well. But what do you think? What's the future of the Six Nations and the Tier 2 Nations? At Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Just briefly, because we moved away from it, we didn't come back to it. So England are the champions. They go to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
I quite like that Eddie Jones has already said, we're going down there. I think we can win two games. I think we'll win the series. I love that arrogance.
It should be arrogant.
Confidence.
Yeah. Confidence.
He's got the deepest player pool of any nation. Mm. He should absolutely be confident.
What do England need to do or add or change or get rid of or whatever in order to make sure that happens?
I'm not sure they need to change a tremendous amount. However, they need better play from their fly half. Don't think George Ford has been nearly as good as he can be.
Henry Slade.
Owen Farrell for me. I would start Owen Farrell with probably Manu if he can get a run of games for Leicester.
That might be the way forward, yes.
Hear me now, believe me later. Henry Slade. But anyway.
I think that's the only thing I'd change, really. I would. I think part of it, I've mentioned before, Ben Youngs picks up and grabs the cross.
Yep.
I think Kerr gives slicker service. So I would have Kerr starting at nine. And I would actually have him with Owen Farrell.
And I might want to introduce another scrum half to the mix. Robson and Simpson are the two lads that I'd like to see.
Is Hughes available by some at all?
I think June
just misses people, out, doesn't
June
he?
June people have said, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure is the honest answer. It's 2016, but it might be.
I hope he gets just close enough to be English, and we find out that he's got a Welsh grandparent. Like a week before,
and Gatlin calls him up.
Yeah. Gats, what are you doing here? He's got a birth certificate with him.
Tipex all over.
Oh, how different it could be for Wales if Billy and Mako.
We're quite happy as it is.
Yeah, I know.
So yeah, I don't think England have to do much different, to be honest. I think they do need to make some changes, but it's got to be long term. It's long game stuff. There's nothing that you would say, right, tomorrow they need to start this, because their scrum functioned okay. Their lineouts functioning much better now. You've got Cruis and Itoje, and you've got Hartley performing well, so all good.
Right, well, we've got so much still to talk about rugby-wise from the weekend, but not on this podcast. Make sure you download, well, probably tomorrow. We'll call it the midweek domestic podcast.
Yeah. The MWDP will be out on Tuesday.
We'll be out on Tuesday. Depending on when you listen to this, it might already be there in the iTunes or Acast store, but make sure you download that one as well, and we'll be talking about those incredible Jaguars in Super Rugby. We'll be talking about the fantastic win for London Irish, the retirement of Andy Goode, what's going on, and what needs to go on at Bath, my date with Banners, and much, much more. So,
excellent.
At Rugby Podcast on Twitter, Acast and iTunes. Thank you for listening. Nice one, JB.
Cheers, Tim.
Good work, Phil.
Thank you, Tim.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.